on FM Talk 106.5.
The first thing I remember knowing was a lonesome whistle blowing.
Welcome back to the Jeff Ward Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Tuesday morning. Text line 251-343-0106. Be in touch with the show. All you got to do is text me, and we will go from there. Joining us now, sitting in here in studio, he's running for Congress, the 1st Congressional District right here where we are sitting. But Joshua McKee joins us. Josh, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Thanks again for having me, Jeff. Appreciate it.
Hey, thanks for stopping by. Well, how's the campaign going? It's been a little bit since we last talked, but it can be a slog, can't it?
Yeah, it's nonstop. We went over to Mar-a-Lago and then over to Dallas and Houston and Galveston and back to the district and up to Atlanta. So I had to go out and meet a lot of donors out there, and that's part of it, and meeting people along the way. It's been good.
Well, this is a big district. You think about, I mean, from one state line to the other, South Alabama, and not historically not a district that's not what you typically see in South Alabama. I mean, you know, we went through the redistricting and it sliced and diced up. But you know, getting over to the Wiregrass and spending time over there, talk a little bit about sort of the, I don't know if you call it diversity or what, but it is a very unique sort of set of circumstances for someone running for office.
Well, we have an amazing district, and there's a lot from ag to tourism to pretty much everything across the board. And Wiregrass is great, unique people out there. A lot of my heritage comes there. When you're talking about your farmers, then you've got your businesses up in Enterprise that are big, but they're all dispersed. There's pretty good distance between them, and then they have broadband issues and connectivity problems out there, so you've got to get to them face-to-face.
Yeah, that was always when it was the second district. You didn't – it was a little different than the rest of the state. It was like where direct mail and other, you know, things like that were how you could interact with potential voters. But it's still kind of an enigma, the Mobile Baldwin County guy versus a Wiregrass guy, as it was last time. And you got to try to you got to try to do outreach in parts of the district that maybe aren't as familiar with you, you know.
Right.
I assume that's some of what you're having to do.
It's a lot of the same. You're going out there and you're going to events. You might have 50 people show up at an event, and then some of them want to go door knock for you. What it comes down to is try to have as much interaction out there as possible. Set up as many events as you can. Go door to door. Do your door knocking. Get your mailers out there. And it costs more. It costs a lot more to do it that way. But it's also more personable, and that's what I like.
Well, tell us now, the event that some of our listeners weren't listening the first time you were around, tell us a little bit about yourself, your background, and why you want to run.
Sure. 25 years of Special Forces Green Beret, went to over 56 countries, now 57 with the rescue mission I did in Jamaica. And being a diplomat as a Green Beret is what we're trained to do. So you go in there, set up some of the elections in the early provinces during the Iraq War, and multiple other countries I went to as a soldier diplomat, which is what Green Berets are trained to do. I also built 6 companies. I was a global strategist at General Motors and a senior solutions architect for North and South America for Hewlett Packard. We've done quite a bit, but why am I running is because DC has gotten really good at listening to us, but they don't hear us. The American people are tired of not being heard. And it's time that we actually get back to the roots of what this country was built on. And that was to have a servant's heart. George Washington was our first servant. He wasn't a lord. He wasn't a king. He said, I'm the nation's first servant. We need servants in D.C.
Well, so, I mean, that's how I guess you're setting yourself apart. You are the outsider, right? You're not a sitting office holder, nor have you held office in the past. So, you know, talk about that.
Well, for someone that says, hey, I've been in D.C. for 10 years, that shouldn't be a resume line. It should be a warning. And we've done this repeat, you know, rinse, wash, rinse, repeat over and over and over again. And yet everyone complains about Congress, but they love their congressmen. We need to make sure we start changing that and getting people up there that aren't self-service. But they also have to have some sort of background. I mean, going to 57 countries, being a global diplomat, turning around and coming back to a small legislation like the House. it gives me that background to understand what's going on, but also that I've built six businesses, heavily community involved. I know what it means to sign both sides of the paycheck, which you hear commonly from someone that's owned a business. I also understand how important taxes are and that we need to cut a lot of them and invest back into the American people.
What do you say to folks that look at this office, at least in Alabama, and this has kind of been the history here in this state? We see you there, yes, cutting taxes, upholding some of these cultural conservative principles and whatnot, but that you also are a functionary to bring home more back to the district. And then that's I-10 Bridge. That's military, the Fort Rucker, that's, you know, Austell Shipyard, whatever. How do you maintain that proper balance?
You're going up to D.C. to represent your constituents. The goal is to help those that you're going up there to represent. So bringing money back, investing back into your district is your primary focus. I need to figure out what can I bring back here? Where can we invest? Across the country as a whole, we need to invest back into America, and we're not doing that. But right now we have a lot going on down at the wharf. We're building down there. We have Enterprise going on. They're building up there. Fort Rucker has billions of dollars coming in from DARPA with the drone program. There's a lot going on. Those programs need support in D.C. to make sure we get the money back here. We spend way too much money going out of Alabama to the federal government. We're not bringing enough back in. I'm going to give you a quick example. The wharf, they got a $6 million grant for a $500 million investment into our infrastructure down here. $6 million. That's all they got.
Right.
And they've been fighting a battle with the Corps of Engineers over a marina that should have been roughly about $12 million, and they've delayed it to $56 million in cost now. Come on. And they're not getting any help. We need someone that's going to go up there, and what I like to say is stand on someone's desk till you get the answer you need. I'm not making a couple of phone calls to help someone. I'm going up there to represent Alabama and make sure we get the investment of our tax dollars that we pay the federal government back here at Alabama. So, yes, there needs to be a substantial investment back here at home.
Joined by Josh McKee. He's running for Congress in the 1st Congressional District. What's some of us kind of going on right now? And I'm curious to hear your thoughts on, you know, this drug boat operation in the Caribbean, Venezuela, the potential for, I mean, regime change, or, you know, what do you make of it? Is this right, what the Trump administration's trying to accomplish here?
I'm going to support our president, and I'm going to support Trump tremendously. I think Hegseth's doing the right thing. I don't want to see anybody attack America, whether land, water, through drugs. They're still considered terrorists. They're bringing in weapons. Actually, if it was guns and bullets and we were getting shot at, it would be different. But people don't see the deaths because it's not affecting them. But those have been affected by fentanyl understand how dangerous it is. Yes, we are being attacked. We are at war by the drug cartels. The weapon of choice for them is bringing fentanyl in. That is their weapon. So, yes, I think we continue to blow them up, do whatever we need to do to stop them from hurting and harming Americans. Absolutely, I support that.
And what do you say to those who look at this? And, you know, it's the legality of it, the due process. Obviously, you know, it's not a law enforcement action, I don't think. But is it an act of war? It's sort of a gray area.
Well, it's not really a gray area. Our Coast Guard are set to defend our borders against all enemies. And those are enemies that are attacking us. They are drug lords that are bringing in drugs to kill Americans.
Right.
So they're defending our borders. They're doing their job. And I don't think that we should be talking about due process for criminals that aren't part of our country. They're not American civilians. Right. They are combatants, and they need to be treated as such. Blow them up. I don't care. Sorry. You know, I'm here to protect Americans. American first, and that's what it means. We don't want people coming in here and killing Americans, and that's what they're trying to do.
Talk about beyond that. There are some successes of this administration that I don't think get enough press. We're distracted by the Epstein files or
right
the Venezuela situation or whatever, but you know, you look out on the street and you talk to some of the law enforcement out there, and they say you can see a tangible difference
right.
in some of the human trafficking and some of the drug trafficking. There's fewer deaths. I mean, yeah, there's still the stuff going on, but you're seeing a decline.
Yeah, the decline is coming down exponentially. When you have someone like Trump that's leading this country and the police feel that they can start policing again, and our law enforcement aren't being threatened by lawsuits if they have to go and arrest someone. So when you have a strong leadership like Trump, and what we're seeing across the country is a safer America. Things don't happen overnight. So that's why they are coming down slowly, but they are coming down.
Well, what else needs to be done?
We need to invest more in our law enforcement. We need to make sure that they're paid appropriately so they're not leaving the house wondering, you know, what am I going to do on the side to make a little bit extra money? Our law enforcement are not paid appropriately, not for what they're doing. As someone that went to war and, you know, our military doesn't get paid appropriately, we need to make sure that those that are risking their lives every day for this nation, our first responders, our law enforcement, that they get paid appropriately. If you want to do more and you want to bring people to the table, you got to pay them appropriately. And that's any job out there.
Beyond pay, morale.
Training.
Well, just I think morale in general. I've heard this all my life. I mean, I portion of my life growing up, my dad was an Air Force veteran and an Army veteran. And also we lived on Eglin Air Force Base. Democrat administrations, the morale would dip. They put the emphasis on things outside of defense, and, you know, you really felt it. I don't know what it was like during Biden, and you didn't hear it, but it does sound like recruitment's up. There's all these things going on in the military. What do you assess it as? Like are we combat ready? We hear about these threats all the time. I don't know where the American military is. I mean, we assume it's the best in the world, and those are all probably safe assumptions. But are we in a good place regarding the Pentagon, national defense, et cetera?
Let's take a look at what Hegseth's doing. He's bringing strength and physical strength back to the military, which we lost. Is our military there yet? I think we're getting back there to where we need to be. Are we still the greatest military in the nation? Yes. We are able to continue to move forward under his leadership. He's out there. You can even see the vice president. They're involved with the troops. They're leading by being a leader. They're not telling people what to do. They're actually out there doing it with them. So I see a lot of strength coming from that. I also see the morale coming up with our soldiers when you see our leaders doing what they're telling you to do. They're standing there right by your side saying, hey, we're going to do this together. That's what it means to be a leader, and I like seeing that. Why is our morale going up? Well, when you're out there with the troops and they're not what we call the military sucking, they're sucking together. They're right there with us. It's not always fun, and I'm glad to see that our leadership is involved.
The Hegseth approach, right? I mean, you know, there's sort of a snobbery with the Pentagon, the people who work there, I think. And, you know, there's this, lower ranking Fox News guy come in and try to run the Pentagon the way he is. But, you know, I don't know what he's been able to accomplish in that role, but having listened to him talk before he took it on, he had all these ideas that you needed to do to get ready, to be prepared for any sort of bad scenario or whatever. He had all these ideas. Do you feel like it's only been a year that he's been in. Do you feel like he's making these needed improvements?
He's making headway. He is absolutely making headway. And with the amount of time he's been in there, hasn't quite been a year yet. I think he's doing good. I really do. There's people out there that they're going to be naysayers. They're going to say whatever they want about him. But at the end of the day, he's strengthening our military far more than it was over the last 4 years. Biden gutted it. Biden hurt us tremendously. While China was over there rebuilding their military and strengthening their men, we were over here weakening it with this crap that we had in there with the trans issues,
yeah.
The DEI, all of that. Having that mentality in our military is not strength. That is weakness. He has gotten rid of that, That is a substantial move forward. Now it's the physical expectations that they have. They even have the same expectations for their civilians that are working on military bases, that you will be physically fit also. So I appreciate that. You don't go to war if you can't do a PT test. Come on now.
Well, this is what they do, though, with him, with headshots. And you watch it. The signal thing, trying to pin the one of the drug boat exercises and on him as if there was a quote-unquote war crime. They don't like him where he is. And you see these news stories, and you know where they're coming from. I was in D.C. for 8 years. I know how this works. And they plant these seeds with these reporters and these left-wing media outlets and try to make it seem like it's just chaos over there at the Department of Defense, Department of War now. He's in over his head, but that's what they do, right? That's
right. They're attacking strength. So what happens is you've got Trump. He's the strongest president we've ever had. He has strength. Hegseth is strength. Right now, the Democratic Party and all the narrative out there is to attack strength so they can get votes. They can't say that he's doing a great job. They can't say that he's expanded our military, increased the strength of our military, because those are good things that are happening. So anytime you see an attack, that's what's going on.
From. Let's get a break in here. We got Joshua McKee. He's candidate for the 1st Congressional District. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Moore Show on FM Talk 106.5.
Hank, why do you roll smoke? Why must you live out the songs that you wrote? Over and over, everybody made my prediction. So if I get stoned, I'm just carrying on an old family.
He's pounding down, loaded up and trucking. Are we gonna do what they say can't be done? We've got a long way to go and a short time to get there.
Welcome back to the Jeff Moore Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Tuesday morning. 251-343-0106. We'll get to your text in the next segment, so stay tuned for that. Also, John Wall, Chairman of the Alabama Republican Party, coming up in the next hour. Still with us here for a few more minutes, Josh McKee. He's running for the Republican nomination in the 1st Congressional District. The open seat here, Barry Moore opted to run for United States Senate, so we have a wide open congressional race. Josh, anything you want to say before we get out of here? I mean, it is the holiday season, and there's sort of the lull before we really hit the politics trail in the first of the year.
Well, first off, Merry Christmas to everyone out there. And we were just talking about military a second ago, so there is something that means a lot to me this time of year. Is the truce of 1914 during World War One, when both sides that during right before Christmas Eve and the Christmas Day that they were able to lay down their arms, go out in the middle of no man's land and actually celebrate Christmas amongst each other. It wasn't politics. It wasn't generals, leaders. It was actually humanity, and it was a sign of humanity. And during this time of year, if soldiers can do that in the middle of a war, I think we can do that too. Find a little humanity amongst one another, you know, settle a grudge with someone, say thank you. Remember your family and those that may have lost family this time of year and reach out to them. But more importantly, let's have some humanity here and remember that this country is built on Christian values, and we are all Christians at heart.
It did. I guess once we get to the new year, some of your life going to change that much? Is it just hitting the road back and forth the district?
It'll be nonstop every day, getting out there and trying to get out in front of people so they can make the best informed decision when they go to the polls. And it's important that they go to the polls, because right now everyone is upset with Congress, but yet they love their congressmen. So let's not continue that that status quo. Let's make sure that we are informed when we go to the polls and vote for the best option.
You have you interacted with your opponents that much?
Yeah, absolutely. Really? Spoken with Jerry quite a bit, and Rhett, and I think there's another couple other people that may be in the race. I'm not familiar with them. But, you know, I like Jerry. I like Rhett. They're both good people. We all lead differently. We all have different experiences, and why it's important that people understand who they're voting for and what they want. And hopefully it's not the same status quo what we had in D.C. over the last, you know, existence of the United States. We need to stop that. We need to get back to where we started from.
Well, one more question. And you know, like I said, you'll be hitting the campaign trail harder in the new year. But what do you hear out there?
Right now, people are tired. They don't feel like they're being heard. That's the biggest thing is the Republicans aren't acting fast enough to get Trump's agenda across the floor. And that's what they want. And I'm worried that we're going to lose the 2026 elections if people don't get out there and get involved. We need to make sure you go to the polls. You've got to get out there and vote. We cannot afford to lose the House. And right now, that's the biggest fear.
Yeah, it does seem that way. The enthusiasm, not so much in our right. state, but throughout the country, does seem to be on the left.
It does. And hopefully we can change that. Thanks, Jeff.
Hey, real quick, folks want to find out more about your campaign.
McKeeForCongress.com. Go check out my website, social media. Everything's on there. McKeeForCongress.com. Merry Christmas, everyone. Thank you.
Thanks for coming by. Joshua McKee, ladies and gentlemen. We got to get a break here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Porter Show on FM Talk 106.5.
What I got is mine.